Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. I always find it an experience traveling from Fort Langley to Vancouver and to this church. That there's a street out there called Broadway. Are they ever going to fix that? Like, I keep going and I say orange everywhere and going, oh, you know, it's not the BC Lions. So obviously, it's the guys who are working construction. In fact, they're all over the place these days. You know something I was just thinking? Pastor Avery and I were talking, and he says, oh, you know, months ago he said, I'd like you to come and share at the summer conference. I said, oh, that'd be kind of cool. I haven't done that for a little while with you guys. And he mentioned that you would be out at Trinity Western University. So next weekend, you'll be in my backyard. Now, nothing personal against you folks. I'm not going to sleep there. I'm only 5.2 minutes away from the place. So my wife's not happy about that because she was hoping I would stay with you guys. But anyways, I decided my back is not, you know, what it used to be, so I'm sleeping in my bed, you know, and my beauty rest. So anyways, but I'm looking forward to hanging out with you. I really am, and I've been excited about sharing with you during that time. So continue to pray for the conference and pray that each congregation will have a really good opportunity just to put your feet up, you might say, but also have time to rethink some things. Pastor Avery said to me, well, maybe you could share some of your messages that you're going to have for the weekend. On the Sunday, you're going to be at Lord's Grace. I said, I don't want to do that. You know, kind of save all the thunder for that one place. We'll do it there. But I was really praying and thinking, well, we can kind of share this to kind of get us into the mood of what I'm going to share with you during next weekend. Now, saying that, I want to ask you, I don't think you know who this is, but we ask, just so we don't forget you. There was a lady. Her name was Hetty Green. You won't know who she is, I'm sure. But she was known as America's greatest miser. You know what a miser is, eh? You know, cheapskate, okay? But anyways, so what we know about her is this. She died in 1916. But she had left an estate worth over $100 million to people that would inherit that money. Yes, it is said that she was a real miser because she ate oatmeal cold because it cost too much to heat it. Think about that, huh? Here's another one that's a little bit morbid. Her son's leg was amputated because she delayed too long looking for a free clinic to do the job. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? For someone who had such great assets, to go through life miserable, living a life of poverty, when great wealth was at her disposal. But before we get too excited about judging this lady, who's now gone anyways, the same could be said of many Christians today. For in Christ Jesus, we have countless spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 is one of my favorite verses, and it reminds us, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Wow. You know, it's like going to a spiritual Amazon, you know, order up and deliver, you know. But it's not a religious thing. This is what Jesus thinks of you and me, that he thinks that you should have the best. But unfortunately, however many of these blessings, they go unused. Blessings so wonderful, but unappreciated by many. Some Christians live that way, and they live in something called lives of quiet desperation. God wants us to know about these blessings, or spiritual riches. And in the New Testament, one book describes many of them. And it's the book of Ephesians, which I know you've been studying through. You've been doing studies in it, hearing messages on them. One express purpose of the book is that we might know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Fancy way of saying, you got something that no one else may have, and it's been given to you to give to someone else. You're not to keep it to yourself. It's designed to share. The first thing I want to stress today is that these three things are not what you will find out about yourself in the newspaper or Time or Newsweek. These are not part of our cultural assumptions about mankind virtually no one outside a small group of evangelicals really believe in what is written here. And that's a shame, because when I look at my own life, I often do not take advantage of the blessings that God wants us to have. Now, the way you wake people up is you always compare. You talk about what was, and then you talk about what is now. But Paul is very direct to the point. You see the first three verses that we read in Scripture: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who also lived among them at our time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What is the concept of death he's talking about here? What is the concept of dying? Well, I think that is quite simple. And I think why I'm preaching it this way is I want you to know maybe that you have maybe not utilizing what God has given you for a number of reasons. Now, first thing is, without a Savior, all people are dead in sin. The word sin is not a nice name. The only time you say sin is a social insurance number, but that's not what we're talking about today. Sin is something that separates us from God. And it makes us incapable of any spiritual good. Without a Savior, all people are captured, blinded by an evil, supernatural person, and his name is Satan. This being is a spirit who works in the hearts and lives of people who have no Savior. Tells us this in the Scripture, the spirit now at work in the sons of disobedience. So often we get mad at God for what's not happening in life. So often we blame him for not having what we want. We don't live a life of convenience. We as Christians, we feel we're entitled to live a stress-free life. Well, better wake up. That's not true. It never was true. So we always blame God for things that we shouldn't be, but we never think of Satan in the sense of, maybe he's got a part to do with this too. Now, I'm not talking about possession and whatever you think about all that. He's a real force in this world, whether you like it or not. And if you haven't noticed it, just turn on the news for about 20 minutes. You'll be so depressed you won't believe it. And go down to the downtown east side or go anywhere, and you're going to see that we live in a world of chaos and confusion. The result is that people without a Savior live in step with this evil age. They don't know how to deal with things. I have a friend of mine, and I've only known him for a few years, but I can't believe at the age of 36, he can't cope with even the basic things of life. And as I do some homework, I realize that he's lived the life that everything was done for him. When someone does everything for you, you never learn to take ownership for your life. You expect everyone from now on, even moving forward, to do everything for you. It's called entitlement, but it's also called lack of maturity and ability to live. I hope you, if you're a parent or going to be a parent, don't do everything for your kids. All you're doing is raising a juvenile delinquent. Believe you me, your kids have to learn how to make it in this world, and they're not going to do it if you do it all for them. And it's the same thing when people come to the church. They expect the pastor and the staff and God to do everything for them. They sit there, want the shortest sermon, the most funniest, most humorous illustrations, and then a real nice coffee break after the service with the best Chinese food you can find in town. I believe you me, I know. I sit and watch people walk out of my sermons 30 minutes into it, and I go, I wonder where they're going. So I ask the pastor, they have a dim sum appointment. You know, we come here expecting God to give us everything, and we do nothing. If I sound a little bit angst today, I'm not angst. I'm just trying to tell you the whole truth. Nothing but the truth will help you, God. That's all I'm doing. Because people do not understand the things of God or appreciate their faith. You know this? Do you appreciate your faith? Man, there are more Christians complaining about their faith than there are people that don't know anything about their faith. You know, they don't like the length of the church, the music, you know, they don't like who's standing up there, and they come with this very negative Nancy attitude. Now, at the retreat, you're not going to get away with that. You come in with that at the retreat, you're going to get to see a lot of me in your face. just because I love you in Jesus. Because we need to get people to understand reality. And most of us sometimes struggle with that, and I do too, okay? What I'm telling you, I also suffer with, by the way. But two reasons why people do not believe the things that God tells them is that because it's not flattering to the human nature. Human nature follows the human trinity. You know what the human trinity is? Me, myself, and I. That's the human trinity. See, people worship the human trinity. You know, I know lots of people who worship the human trinity. You know, unlike the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because they have to learn from someone else, that from God, in contrast to their friend, that bugs them too. What does God know about me? Well, he put you together, sister and brother. He knows all about you and some. But we don't want to hear from authority, do we? We don't want to hear from someone who may be like me, a few decades older than you. You're not going to like that. What do you know, old man? What do you know? Because our human nature says, I should know everything. I know it all. It's all about me. You ever heard about it? It's all about me. I got a relative. Every time I see her, I get sick. You know, she says, oh, Bill, good to see you. I'm glad you came to see me. I want to tell you all about me. You know, that's why we don't get together often. I don't want to get depressed. But the thing is that we have this idea that this is what life's about. It's all about me. Now, God says, I got a deal for you. You can change all that if you kind of get your perspective in place and understand that if you see me as not just a resource, if you see me just as, you know, what I'm telling you who I am, then you're going to be able to understand what living this life's all about. Because one person said to me, oh, Pastor Bill, you must be very frustrated because people have no absolutes today. I mean, they don't live according to any standards and rules. And even driving through up to Broadway Street, I saw this humongous sign that said, who determines right or wrong? And then that's the question mark, and then there's this huge picture of a Bible. I thought, well, that's rather catching, you know. But I said, you know something? There's truth to that. There aren't any absolutes, but you know what? On the other side of the coin, there are lots of absolutes. It's just that every one of us has one. Oh, that can be quite disparaging. It's like living in Fort Langley. That 9 months ago, my wife and I, we moved into Fort Langley with our son. And you think the postal system is slow? Well, I'll tell you why. The postal system in Fort Langley doesn't exist. Well, it does exist, but they don't deliver mail. They tell you nicely, welcome to Fort Langley. It's a community place. You'll love living here. Everybody likes everybody, but you won't get your mail. So where do you get it from? Well, you have to walk down to the post office. So depending where you live, you'll get your exercise early. I'm thankful. I live five minutes away. It won't kill me. But then, guess what? Everyone has their own postal code. Like, the guy next to me has a different postal code than the guy on my other side, and then me too. Like, so what do? You gotta actually get a post office box, P.O. box, and it better be right, because if you don't put it down right, your mail's going to be a blessing to somebody else, especially if they're checks. So, you know, you're trying to figure this all out, and then you ask yourself, well, how about Amazon? And they'll say, oh, yeah, they'll bring them right to your house. That's why they have trucks. Okay. But the whole thing is, we live in a world where we all have either absolutes or we don't have any absolutes, so it's absolutely crazy. So let me ask you the question, and I love Philip's prayer. He brought up, who am I? If I asked you who you are, if you don't know now, then you come to the summer conference and I'll tell you. But the whole thing is, we live in a world of misidentities. We don't know who we are, but we know what to do, or we think we know what to do. No one wants to understand what God wants for them, but they're quite willing to tell you and the church what it should be. See, apart from having the new birth in Jesus, which is his offer of salvation, we're dead. We're just dead as a rock in what we're living. Apart from the new birth, we by nature are children of wrath. If I don't like you because I'm not a Christian, then I don't like you. And there's no hope for that. If I hate you, you're done deal. You don't come to my house and I don't take you out for lunch. Too bad. See, I don't have anything in there that cares about you. Apart from the new birth, we love darkness and hate the light. We tend to gravitate towards those things that really we know aren't healthy for us. I've spent 25 years, as you know, at Union Gospel Mission. And I watch humanity in action every day. And what I've learned is people who know there's an answer to certain things for their life will choose something else called addiction. They'll choose something that's a wrong priority to help their lives move forward. And they have a wonderful gravity towards this thing. You know, if you do not understand addiction, I can tell you one day that when someone's in addiction, it is the most important thing in their lives, irrespective of family, irrespective of friends, irrespective of right or wrong. Addiction to a certain thing becomes the most important thing to that person, which obviously affects behavior. Apart from new birth, our hearts are like stones. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. And even if I don't know what to do, just don't tell me. I'm not interested in you helping me. Apart from the new birth, we're unable to submit to God or please God. Well, we want nothing to do with this creature called God or who God is, you know? You know, the only time people at UGM talk about God is when they're swearing, Jesus Christ! You know, I hear that in the bathrooms, you know, and then I walk by the bathroom and say, by the way, someone looking for Jesus? Oh, it's the minister of the mission. He's out there. And all of a sudden they become very repentant, you know. So sorry, Pastor, we didn't know you were there. Oh, yeah, you're in the toilet, buddy. I mean, what do you, you know, but you said Jesus Christ, so I thought you might want to talk about Jesus. Oh, no, it's okay. I'm so sorry. It's funny how people are. People are strange, you know, that way. Apart from the new birth, we're unable to accept the gospel. We don't want to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's just kind of interesting. Truth is in this book. If you have one of these, or sitting on your phone, that's what, yeah, you know, this is the only place there's truth. Don't believe in half-truths. You know why? Half-truths force you or could lead you to believe in the wrong half. You get the whole thing here. That's why you need to be taking time for this. Because if you don't take time for this, guess what goes into your head? All the half-truths or no truth at all, and you get distracted. I'm not asking you to be a scholar. I'm not asking you to know everything. I don't know everything in this book either. You know, sorry, not perfect. You know, but I know where to go to deal with certain things in my life, everything from finances to the way I should live my life morally, to how I treat my family, to how I should, what I should, comes out of my mouth, and how to learn how to listen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The book is full of wisdom because it's full of truth. And if you're not in there, you're out here. Now, I went there for a little bit to spend all that time telling you, you know, do you appreciate your faith? Because if you're not connected, you don't appreciate anything except the human trinity, me, myself, and I. Now, the second thing that's really cool, though, is that God has made us possibly alive. He's given us the hope. Working with homeless people over a quarter century, I saw a degree of hopelessness that I thought was pretty sad, but now in these days after COVID, hopelessness has taken a new degree and it's increased, and it's just a sign of hopelessness all over the world. And it's scary because, you know, you can only help people who want to be helped. You can't help them if they say no. You can call an ambulance for any individual in this world, and unless they're on their deathbed, they do not have to go into that ambulance to go anywhere with you, with the paramedics. They have to agree. And it's the same thing. Jesus tells you, I'm going to help you. No, it's okay. Not today. I'm busy. You know, I don't feel like it. And I see this in church. I spend my new role with UGM as a senior advisor for church relations, so I hang out with all these pastors, including yours. Oh, by the way, Pastor Sam Lee says hi, by the way. And gotta give him a commercial, get my royalty. But anyway, so here we, that's usually a blacksmith for a donut. But anyways, it's important that we understand there's an offer on the table. But I go to church, Pastor. I don't care if you go to McDonald's. If you're not connected with God, you can sit there all you want and eat all the hamburgers and french fries you want, but it ain't going to help you with your diet, especially in your head. God made us alive. What did he do? He decided that he would love you and me. and this whole world, he decided to send his only son, Jesus, to give his life, which was the only payment possible, to reconnect us again. Most perfect plan, the most perfect definition of love that should permeate our every being. And you notice how good we're doing it? Look at all the hatred in the world. South of the border, oh no, another election. Up here in November, oh no, another election. And every other place in the world, everyone's screaming, love me, care about me, tell me I'm valuable. And at whose expense? Each other. It's not about looking to God to help them exemplify your love. How many of you, don't put your hands up, but how many of you know your neighbors? Next door, how many of you actually know them? How many of you know their first name? How many of you know what their dog's name is? How many of you know where they work? May be a nice meter for love. When I moved to Fort Langley 9 months ago, my daughter-in-law, God bless her heart, Sonia says, Dad, if there's any mediation we need to do with our neighbors, I want you to know you're it. And I said, what do you mean by that? We're all scared. We don't want to talk to people. What do you mean you're scared? You're a part, yeah, but you're not scared. You're just silly. You go out there and talk to people. So every day I stand outside. You know, I'm kind of semi-retired, kind of. But I stand outside, and people walk in up and down Fort Langley. You know, if you've never been there, you should. It's a beautiful place. Saturday they have, you know, a farmer's market. But people have to walk by my house to get there. So I stand there looking like an idiot. You know, I stand there grinning at them. They must think, what medication he's on. But anyways, so I'm standing there, and people go, and I say, hey, how you doing? Where are you going? Farmer's market? Oh, we're so sorry. We shouldn't park in front of your yard. I said, well, do you see my name on it? Well, no. Well, then you park it there then, right? And if it's gone, well, too bad. But people have to walk by me. And so Jesus says, okay, now you have to learn to love these people. So there's some people that walk with their dog by, and they are tempted to get the dog to poop on my lawn, but they see me standing there, you know, and they kind of think twice about it. And then there's other people who are going to churches, and they walk by, and they come by and say, do you know Jesus? And I said, who's asking? See, I don't tell them I'm a Christian. It could be somebody else, right? You know who I'm talking about. So they come by, and they have a little baby. I'll go, what a cute little baby. What did you call it? Oh, Malachi. Ooh, I'm preaching on that in 2 weeks. You know? And now, guess what? They come by every week waiting to see I'm standing out there. And, you know, if I'm not standing out there, I'm waving through the window going, and they're probably still wondering, what medication is he on? I want a case of it. But it's funny. All you got to do is put yourself out there. You don't have to have a Bible in your pocket or the 10 spiritual laws, whatever 10 of them are. You don't have to thump people over the... You just got to tell them that you're seen. You're valuable. That's why I'm getting sunburned standing out here as you're walking by my house. I see you. One guy even asked me what kind of lawnmower I was using because he wants to get an electric lawnmower. He says, does it work? Well, what do you think, buddy? You know, I'm pushing the thing around. You know, but it's the most intriguing conversations you have because you get to do something with your life because of what God has given you to give to somebody else. And it doesn't necessarily have to lure them into your church building. Maybe it's just enough to tell them that you care. Because nobody else has told them that in years. And if you don't like that, then do it while you're recycling and putting the garbage out every 2 weeks. That works too. It's amazing how many people like to talk about garbage. I don't know, it's not my sermon notes, but it just kind of came to my mind. One day, I got to tell you this story. I don't know why, but I got to tell you this story. One day, I put my garbage out the night before, and one day I looked around the neighborhood, and I noticed something really strange. My garbage, I have two garbage cans, one for my wife and I, one for my son and his wife and family. Our lids were open. So I bet no one else's lids were open. So I had to go to my neighbors. Now we're friends, I think. So I went over and I said, by the way, guys, is it normal for two garbage lids to be open every 2 weeks here? They said, what are you talking about? Well, there were two bags in there. They're no longer there. So now we're going into this analytical study of, was it a raccoon? You know, I said raccoons are smart, but they're not that good. I mean, they took the garbage bag right out of the can. It's about this tall, and they don't even see any remnants of being dragged down the street. Well, then someone said, oh, there was a homeless person walking through and looking through the garbage cans. Ah, okay, now I get it. What really kind of bothered me was they took the bags, and I wish I would have been there to tell them exactly what's in there. They're not what he thinks is in there. But the whole point is, we are alive. We are people that have something to share. We are people that sometimes are the ones that can make and give a reason for someone else to decide to get up the next morning. We can't assume they won't be thinking about the most darkest things that they're working through. And you're alive because Jesus died for you. The second thing is, he did it because it's by grace. You did not do anything to deserve what God wants to give you. You didn't go out one day and say, Jesus, I want to be saved. I don't know anyone that's ever done that the first shot, unless someone tried to teach them and encourage them to do that. There was a campaign that went on in the city of Vancouver. It was years ago. Maybe some of us who have lots of white hair and short memory might remember this. It was called the I Found It campaign. And all over the city of Vancouver, black words I Found It were all over the billboards, everywhere. Didn't say who put it up there, didn't say anything. And so people started to ask questions. They phoned the city hall, and they didn't know what was going on. But you know, it was a Christian organization that put up I Found It. What happened was, what was I Found It? People would call into this number. They would be led to Jesus. But theology teaches us that you've got to be careful how you say things. I Found It campaign suggested that anyone who knew wanted to know Jesus, it was because of their efforts. Read your Bible. It's not that way. The greatest thing about God's love is that he chose you. Hard to figure out how he can choose certain people and not choose others. That's his business, not ours. But he is the one that has given us the grace. We didn't do anything. It wasn't from our efforts. We don't even deserve it. But these gifts that he gives us only apply to those of us who are in connection with him. Okay, got to move along. Thirdly, though, excuse me, allergy city. God did not just offer this gift so we would just say, hey, thanks, Jesus, cool. Thank you for thinking of me. And then forget about it. God has a purpose for giving you gifts. God has a purpose for getting you to remind you to appreciate what he's done for you. Because all too often, we take from Jesus something and then we forget all about him. We don't even read the Bible anymore. We don't even know what he expects from us. And you know what today, our world needs not to see more church buildings, but they need to see more of God's people, the church. They need to see people that call themselves Christians being the church and not just doing the church. Because I know that we can do the church. I know lots of it. I knew how to do church when I was 15. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus, but I knew how to do it. I know where to stand. If I wanted to be an usher, I knew how to sing Amazing Grace frontward and backwards. I knew how to do communion, but didn't know why. It was such a cheap lunch. I knew how to do all those things. I knew exactly where everything in church was because I knew how to do church. But somewhere along the line, my pastor said, Bill, are you a Christian? I said, well, I'm here, aren't I? Good on you. But do you know what Jesus has for you? So that summer I went to camp and I accepted Christ as my Savior. But my pastor reminded me, Bill, before you can do anything about church, you better be the church, because if you're not, then you're just religious. People ask me, you're such a religious man. I said, no. There's nothing religious about me. But I have a relationship with a God who loves me. Would you be interested in chatting about it? No, not today. That's fine. That's fine. See, I don't get worked up and say, I lost another brownie point for Jesus. You know, I'm only told to share and care. As you've heard me say before, I can't change or convert anybody. The best I can do, like this morning, I changed my underwear and socks. Yay, you know, but that's within my power. But the reminder is, we've been given a resource center. You know, I live close to North Langley. I just noticed there's a huge warehouse. Best Buy's out there, Savon's out there, and now Amazon's out there. And you know what's really weird about me? I get a real kick coming to Lord's Grace Church like this morning, following a whole fleet of Amazon trucks crossing the Portman Bridge. You might think that's really screwy weird for me, but you know, I sit there going, with Amazon, there's traveling out there, you know. And there's not just two trucks, there's 30 of them. And they're all black and blue with a little blue thing underneath, right? And they're traveling in unity and succinct, and I'm in the middle of it, and I'm going, oh, this is so cool. On my way to Lord's Grace with Amazon, this is so cool. You know, this is so cool. What a dingbat thing to tell you folks. But anyways, but it's interesting. You know, how we choose our identities. And the funny thing is, my brother works for Amazon. That's even more funnier. God wants us to share, and that Amazon, I know that Amazon warehouse has got everything that everybody wants, because you see the trucks going out there. But the thing is, when he died for you and he gave his life for you, he also gave you a reason to stay here. You have a purpose. Every one of you has a gift that is different than everybody else that's in this room. It's like having a postal code that's different than the guy next door. You all have an ability to help someone that I can't help because of who you are. Of who you are, not because of the degrees you have in school or how well you did in high school or whether you have a doctorate or not. I was introduced in a church not long ago, and the pastor, I don't know where he got his information from, but he said, oh, this morning, just like Philip said, this morning, you know, they didn't know me, like I know you, but they said, oh, Dr. Bill Wong is here today. I'm standing there going, did he say doctor? So I thought, now what do I do? So he said, yes, he's got his TW, Trinity Western University's doctorate, and, you know, he's done a lot of work, and, you know, some of the stuff he said was kind of correct, but so I had to get up in front, and I said, now, Jesus, I can't talk. I can't preach if I'm going to have this ever in everyone's head that I'm a doctorate. So I said, good morning. I said, love your pastor. I think he got a little confused about who he wanted to speak here. So I said, I was looking at him kind of going, you know. So I said, I got good news for you. I don't have a doctorate. And I saw some people freaking out down there. Okay. You know? And I said, but the good news is I have a doctor. How many of you can say you have a doctor? You know there's lots of people looking for a doctor today? Yeah. Then I went on and decided to tell them a little bit more about who I am. I don't even have a master's. Oh, the guy in the front was just livid, staring at his pastor saying, here's your pink slip, buddy. You know, he's just going nuts. But I said, I do have two masters, though, but they don't always operate the same way. They're going, what are you? Yeah, it's God and my wife. Now the guy out here, he's done. He's left. He's left. He's had it, you know. There's heresy going on over the pulpit. You know? I thought that he was one of the elders. But anyways. So then I said, I have a bachelor's degree. But of course I'm not a bachelor because I'm married, you know. I've only got one wife, just to let you know. And so I let you know that's okay. So people were kind of at ease on that. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is, we as people of God, we are in our greatest place in the world. I'm the most uneducated Baptist there ever was. I went to Langara College for 2 years after high school at Tupper, and I was the greatest lobbyist for that whole school. You know why? Because I never went to class. I sat in the lobby for 2 years. My wife was taking nursing at the same time, but she didn't know she was going to marry me. She must have thought every time she came out, what a loser. You know? So we were in the same church. And I bought the books, went to do my exams. Yeah, I failed most of them. I got P's in every course. Did you know that? I got P's in every course. You know what the P stands for? Probation. It's their message, Bill, we appreciate you, but don't come to our school ever again. Don't call us. We may call you. You know, I was sorry. But the thing was, God would choose me to do his thing. And after 45 years in the ministry, I look back and I just laugh at times. And I laughed at Avery. I said, you want me to speak at summer conference again this summer? And he says, yeah, Pastor Bill, we want you to be there. And I said, okay. Pastor Sam says, do they know what they're getting themselves into? I said, probably not. But it doesn't bother me because I want to be there. 5.2 minutes away from you where you're going to sleep. And thank God. We were created for a reason, and the reason why, when God gives you a reason, that means you're valuable. You're extremely valuable. How much do you appreciate about your faith? You know, that's a question we don't ask. It's kind of like, oh, you're a Christian, and you're expected to be in that church. You know? You're expected to be there every Sunday morning. You're expected to be at a Bible. You know, and all of a sudden, church is no fun anymore. Church is like, boy, this is kind of going to be a drag. Everyone's telling me where I got to be and what to think and what to say. But we forget the comparison of what you're there because of what he did for you, not because Lord's Grace Church needs more help, which I don't think you do. But if you're not appreciating the God and his word that took you from one place out of one bull pit into another beautiful place called the earth and to do something special for him. Time goes by quickly. So I look at you young people, and I do kind of scared thinking that I'm going to speak to a bunch of young people maybe on the weekend, because I'm not that age anymore, you know? My wife's always saying, what did you lose now? I'm looking for my glasses. Well, they're on your head. Oh, you know, this is real for me. I can't find things because up here, it's not rolling as it used to roll. But time goes by fast. So ask yourself, how does this fit into what I'm doing here on this planet with the little time I've got? And not one of us can guarantee tomorrow. I wish you no harm, but not one of us can guarantee the next second. I've got friends I lost that were younger than I was, that were a little older than I was, and we didn't expect any of that. And you know, when I get up in the morning today, and you know, I'm not 38, not 48, I'm not 58, and I'm not describing my blood pressure, by the way. I'm 68, moving on to 69 in February. And believe you me, what's happening to me in my head and my body is happening. A lot of not so good things, but I appreciate the fact that God loves me enough to leave me here for now, to do what I gotta do. I hope you appreciate your faith more. My theme for the weekend is called Discipleship Matters. And we're going to talk a little bit about your identity, if not a lot about your identity. So may you be blessed. I look forward to seeing you in Fort Langley, if not some of you, then all of you. And looking forward to sharing with you. God bless you this coming day and enjoy the sunshine, because tomorrow's going to rain, apparently. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of who you are and what you have asked us to be and to do. I thank you so much for this church. I've known them for a long time. And every time I come in, I'm so welcomed warmly here. And I thank you for the fact that this is a community of people that are committed. And I love what I hear about the reaching out to the adopting the street, to meeting with another church at Kitsilano. I just those are all signs of a church that understands their mandate here and why they're here. It isn't about having a party for each Sunday in here. It's about getting ready to deal with the world that we live in. And we don't have to do it all. We just got to do what we're supposed to do in terms of what you've called us to do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.